Take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to the book of Joshua this morning. Joshua chapter number 4. Joshua chapter number 4. I tell you, I can stand this morning and say, God's been good to me. Can you say that? He's been good to me. I bless His name. I bless His name. The Bible said, and it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take ye 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take ye hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, ye shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in the time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priest, and the present in the presence of the people. The children of Reuben and the children of Gad, the half tribe of Manasseh, passed over, armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him, as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priest that bear up the ark of the testimony, that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priest, saying, come ye up out of Jordan. It came to pass, when the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned into their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. The people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. Those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. If correctly read, that's Joshua chapter 4. Let's have a moment of prayer together. Father, We're thankful today for the privilege to stand and read the Bible. God, I pray today, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts in this service. Lord, we ask you today that Christ would be magnified, and Lord, that our God, our Heavenly Father, would be glorified. And Lord, in this service, I pray, Lord, now that, Lord, you would bless your word as it goes forth. May the Holy Spirit of God do his office work in comforting your people and convicting those, our Father, that do not yet know you. Lord, we can't come to Jesus lest the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin, of righteousness, and of the judgment to come. And I thank you, Lord, that you've been faithful, that you are being faithful, and God, that you will ever be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're celebrating this weekend the 15th memorial, remembering those that gave their lives. Actually, their lives were taken from them 15 years ago in the World Trade Center, and in that, of course, the Pentagon, and then the field, Flight 93, went down in Pennsylvania. And there's a slogan that I've seen down through the years, and I'd like to title the message that slogan this morning. It may not be exactly as you think, but bear with me, never forget. That's what I want to talk about this morning, never forget. I believe God, there's three things I want to share with you. The first thing I'm looking at is an exhortation to Israel. Here in Joshua chapter number 4, God is making a command to Joshua. Joshua is carrying out that command that when the children come behind, they'll say, "What mean these stones? What do they mean?" And the parents would be able to explain to them and help them to understand that God had worked a miracle on their behalf at the Jordan River. I believe with all of my heart that parents that are here today and grandparents, we should want some memorials in our own lives that our children could see the miracle that God has worked in our life of the new birth, and that we serve a risen Savior, one that died on an old rugged cross, yes, but he didn't stay dead. He got up the third and appointed day, just like the Bible said. There's an exhortation given here to remember, and we'll go on in the message. The memorial here in this passage reflects a purpose. God said in verse number 6 that this may be a sign unto you, and when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, "What mean ye by these stones?" you shall answer them, "The waters of Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel." Look at those last two words, "forever." This is going to stick. God said, listen, it's not just going to be for one generation or two generations, but every generation is going to be touched by this memorial that I'm having you to place. It has a purpose. It has a purpose among the people of Israel, among their children. But not only does it have a purpose there, in chapter 4 and verse 21, we read, "He spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in the time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over Jordan on dry land." It sounds like the same thing, but stay with it a minute. "For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over." Now look at verse 24. The purpose is not only that the children of Israel might know, but the word of God said here in verse 24 that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. I believe it's important to understand that God didn't want to just do something that Israel would remember. But listen, in this generation that we live in, Christians have memorials in their lives. How many can remember where you were when God saved you? How many can remember that? How many can remember, amen, what you were doing when that attack took place on our country 15 years ago? And I believe with all of my heart
that God is saying, I want not just my friend Israel to know, but I want all the people of the earth to know. This is evidenced also in the book of Daniel, when Nebuchadnezzar said, we're going to worship the God of Daniel, amen, because we see the miracles that God has worked in his life. The memorial not only reflects a purpose, but the memorial paints a picture. There's two memorials. One of them's in the river, and one of them's at Gilgal. They took stones out of the river and took them up to Gilgal. You say, preacher, why two memorials? How many realizes that one in the midst of the river where the priest's feet stood, that when the waters came back, they're overflowing the banks, that memorial was out of sight. You say, preacher, what was that a picture of? That was a picture of the faith of the children of Israel. That's what it was. You can't see faith. Amen. But hallelujah. The waters couldn't hide it from God the Father. He could see their faith. Amen. And that they were obedient. They did what he told them to do. And they built a memorial that would be underwater as soon as they crossed over the Jordan River. And then the other memorial was going to be built at Gilgal. They took the stones up. And listen, I didn't catch this, but they must have been pretty good sized stones. They didn't put them in their pocket. They didn't carry them in their hand. They put them on their shoulder. One man from each tribe. Listen, I'll tell you something right now. What God's done in my life is big. Amen. And I tell you what God's done in our country is big. And I believe, listen, we need to remember the God that's blessed our nation. Amen. And remember where our blessings come from. They took the stones. They piled them up. You say, preacher, what was that? Well, not only is there a picture in the river of the faith of God's people, but there's a picture up there at Gilgal of the faithfulness of the God of heaven. Amen. God is faithful. And then when the children come by and said, Daddy, what's these pile of stones mean? He said, let me tell you something, honey. God's still the same God that he was that day that he parted the river. God's still in the miracle working business. God's blessed me. God's blessed your mommy. God's blessed our family. God's fed us. God's clothed us. God's taken us out of this world one day after a while. God made a way that our sins could be put off. And he will make a way that they'll be put away forever. Amen. Oh, yes. Think about that. The exhortation to Israel. The memorial paints a picture. We have in our land the Washington Memorial. We have a World War I and a World War II Memorial. We have a Vietnam Memorial. We have a Korean War Memorial. A Lincoln Memorial. A Thomas Jefferson Memorial. There's a Flight 93 Memorial. There's a 911 World Trade Center Memorial. Many times, listen to me carefully, not always. Many times memorials are erected. I wrote this down so I could remember it as God gave it to me this morning. Many times memorials are erected to remember the victims or the fallen. Right? To remember the, I'm not against that. Amen. That's why we put up something, a headstone in the cemetery. We want to remember those that have passed away. Amen. Those that have died. But in these cases, many of them have given their life for their country. They've given their life for our freedom. And so there are memorials set up. You think about the many times they're erected to remember the victims or the fallen. And I believe we should always remember those that paid the price that you and I could be free. I wish I could sing. I would light in on this, but I'll read the words to you. I hope you've heard the song. If you haven't, I hope you'll look it up and listen to it. Land of the free, sweet home of liberty. It came at such a great cost. Our soldiers, brave and true, gave their lives for me and you. Thank God for the red, white, and blue. Blood bought my freedom. Someone had to die. Someone freely took my place. Blood was the price, the supreme sacrifice. Someone died that we might be free. Over the sea, on an old rugged tree, a battle was fought for you and me. It won't be fought again. We have victory over sin. Thank God for Calvary, amen. And then blood
bought my freedom. Someone had to die. Someone freely took my place. Blood was the price, the supreme sacrifice. Jesus died that we might be free. Oh, I tell you, I hope you get to hear it someday. That song will bless your heart. Amen. Listen, I'm free today in this nation because there are people that were willing to give their lives. But I'm free in the spirit of the Holy Ghost because the Savior of the world was willing to give His life that I might live. Here, two statements now. Many times memorials are erected to remember the victims or the fallen. We should always remember that freedom is not free. But here in Joshua, the memorial was erected not to remember the victims, but to remember the victory. Hallelujah. That God had given them in their lives. Oh, beloved friend, listen, thank God for the victory. This man, Alex de Tocqueville, he said, America's great because she is good. If America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. Honey, I tell you, we're on the verge of losing our greatness as a nation. Oh, beloved friend, when we spit on the Bible and spit on the commandments of our Lord and demand that they be taken down, and taken out. I'll tell you, we're living on dangerous ground as a country. This memorial was erected to remember the victory of the faithful. Someone said, it was Thomas Jefferson, patriotism is not a short and frenzied burst of emotion, but the long and steady dedication of a lifetime. I ask this question today, where are those that are patriots in America today? Where are those? There's something wells up inside of them when they look at that flag, when they salute that flag, when they realize God has blessed this great land that we live in. I tell you, I believe with all of my heart today, we have an exhortation given in the Scripture to the children of Israel. Watch this now. I'll give you this. I want you to see an example that we see in the life of the children of Israel. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, they are exhorted to remember. They are exhorted to build a memorial. They're exhorted to never forget, if you please. That's what they're exhorted to do. How many knows what happened? How many knows what happened? Watch this now. In Deuteronomy 4, verse number 9, the Bible said, only take heed to yourself. Keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. I'll tell you, listen, God said, don't forget. Don't forget. Oh, I believe with all my heart, there are people today. I watched one man, I didn't get to watch much news this morning, but I watched one man as he read off several names, and then he read off his dad's name, and there have been four children, Brother Ralph, born that his dad never got to know, and Papaw never got to know, those four grandchildren. I'm telling you, that spoke to my heart. I'm telling you, this thing that happened, it may be forgotten by many. I tell you, we better remember. Are you listening? And we better remember the example of Israel. The Bible said in Judges 3:7, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Watch this. And forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam and their groves. I tell you what America's problem is. We forgot where the blessings come from. Amen. And we're trying to forget the God of heaven that's blessed this land for these many, many years. The result for the children of Israel would be their captivity at the hands of the Assyrians and the Babylonians. Deuteronomy 28, verse 49, the Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth. A nation whose tongue shall not understand. A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. Oh, beloved, history is repeating itself as I stand in this pulpit today. No, all the Bible is not written to us. That was written to the children of Israel. But I'll tell you this, all of the Bible was written for us, for our admonition, for our learning. And beloved, I'll tell you, there's a people coming, my friend, that hate this country, that hate our God. If we could only figure that out, it's not really us that they hate, it's our God that they hate. Amen. My friend, listen, when Goliath was down there, listen, he was defying the armies, that's what he thought, of Israel. But I tell you what David said, he's defying the God of the armies of Israel. There is a big difference, say amen. Then I want you to look at the exhortation to the church, and I'll be finished. Never forget, we saw the exhortation to Israel, the example of Israel. By the way, let me say this, before we fuss at Israel too much, we too are prone to forget. We're prone to forget. We're very prone to forget. Listen to what Peter said. Simon Peter, this is 2 Peter 1:1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. Listen. And hath forgotten. And hath forgotten. That's what the Bible said. And hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, listen what Peter said, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance. What Peter's saying is, honey, I'm going to tell you right now, we might be prone to forget, but as long as I'm living, I'm going to try to remind you of the goodness of God and the blessings of God, to put you in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. He said, yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle. I'll tell you something right now. I'm 56 years old. If God lets me live to 66, I'll put it off shortly. If God lets me live to 76, I'll still be putting it off shortly. Honey, it ain't going to be long. We're going to put off this tabernacle. It'll be shortly, one way or the other. Amen. I want to be like Peter. As long as I'm in this tabernacle, I want to stir you up to remember what God has done for the people of God. Oh, beloved, he said, moreover, I will endeavor that you be able, after my decease. He said, listen, I want this to ring in your ears after I'm dead and gone. Brother Bride, I couldn't help but think about your class and the wonderful lessons I've heard these 3 years. And how many times Brother Brian will say, I remember something Brother Jack said. Hallelujah. Yeah. I remember something Somebody, Brother Darris said. In other words, that's what Peter was saying, honey. I want to stir you up while I'm here, and I want to say enough while I'm here to keep you stirred up when I'm gone. Hallelujah. Look, you want to serve the Lord and honor Him in your life. When we think of the enemy, it should stir us up to fight. You know what? We have an enemy as a country. We have an enemy. We're not loved by everybody in the world. And when we remember the enemy, it ought to stir us up to want to fight for what God has blessed us with. And when we think of the victory, it should stir us up in faith. God has given us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we think of our country, it should stir us up to never forget, never ever forget where we came from. Never ever forget why we are what we are. Amen. Let me say this. You take away the Bible, you take away morals, you take away the commandments of God, you take away that decency, and a democracy no longer will work. Mark down what I said. Amen. We need to fear God. We need to walk with God. We need to let our light shine. And we need to never, ever forget. We have an enemy, but thank God we have a Savior. Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. David looked out there in that valley, and Goliath said, I defy you. Send me a man. You can read a few verses there, and it almost sounds like David's being cocky or arrogant. But just read a few verses. Keep reading. He'll tell you the same God that delivered me out of the paw of the lion. The same God that delivered me from the bear is going to deliver me from that big ugly giant out there in that valley. The same God. David was saying in so many words, I know I don't look like much, but you're to see the one that's living inside of me. He's a lot bigger than that giant is. He can handle him. Amen. I believe in America, we're facing some giants. And I believe, listen, I believe God's people are being put in a little basket, so to speak, a little bushel basket. I believe we're just in the way of the mainstream agenda in this country that we live in. And I believe with all of my heart, God's fixing to get us out of the way. Amen. And let them have it. Amen. 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 Jesus is coming again. When He comes, I'm glad. Thank the Lord. I've got a ticket out of here. It was bought at Calvary and paid for. All I had to do was receive. All I had to do was come to Him, trust Him as my Savior. And I praise God today that He was willing to forgive me of my sin. He was willing to take me in His family. And He's going to take me all the way to glory one day after a while. Let's bow for prayer. Never forget. Never forget. Never forget. We see that exhortation that was given to Israel, the example of how Israel did forget. I'll tell you, it's a blessing. You go in a restaurant every once in a while and you sit down. Somebody across the way will bow their head. Thank God for a plate of food. Oh, it's a blessing. Amen. It's a blessing. Somebody said, well, the world's gone to hell in a handbasket. I'm going to tell you something right now. Not everybody's in that basket. God's still got a remnant. He's still got some young'uns that love Him and want to serve Him.